This episode of Robinson Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Hyundai. With remote charging and flexible ways to fuel up, the Hyundai Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs mean that you can use electric when you want it or gas when you need it. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy with little knowledge and little power. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. This week's a recap episode when the great Peachy Law will join us here to talk about everything that's going on in the second part of the Survivor Merge from this week. And it was a great show on Wednesday night. Seems like people really enjoyed that one. So it should be a fun conversation here with Peachy, just like I had last night on the Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback. And boy, did we have a wild Survivor exit interview today. One of the wildest Survivor exit interviews that we've done. Sydney Siegel joined me on the Survivor exit interview, and she's done some notable press appearances here on Thursday morning, and I highly suggest you should check that out. Listener discretion is advised. If you have some young children or sensitive ears, you should be a little wary going into that one, but it was definitely an unforgettable exit interview. Even Jordan Kalish stopped by for a treat to talk about something that we have going on with a big Survivor trivia event that we have going on for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So definitely check out that episode on the exit interview from this morning. Plus, we still have a bonus podcast coming with Sean Clements from the Hollywood Handbook podcast. We're going to talk about how he's feeling about Survivor 41. And then we have the Survivor Feedback Show coming up with Lyrsa. So if you want to get your voicemails in on that one, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. We're going to record that on Friday afternoon, so you have until then to get your Survivor voicemails in. Before we get to PG, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And mentioned at the top of the show, those are our friends over at Hyundai. You know, Hyundai has the widest range of electrified vehicles on the market, starting with the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. You can use electric when you want or gas when you need it. Because why should you have to choose between style or function or power or range? Get both with the plug-in hybrid EV. Plus, they have some amazing tech features, like both vehicles coming with voice recognition and a smart sense suite to help you drive safe. And they have turbocharged engines to make for quiet, rapid acceleration, and a digital key that allows you to use an Android phone as a spare key, so you always are able to get into your vehicle. And while it's not exactly going back in time and changing history with an hourglass, just think of all the time you could be saving when you're charging your car instead of going to the gas station. So check out the all-new 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EV. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. All right, everybody. I am so excited to welcome back one of my great friends to the podcast that we get together every season to talk some Survivor with this Survivor great, the two-time Survivor player, Survivor China, Survivor Second Chances, host of the Reality Escape Pod. It's PG Law. PG, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Thank you so much for having me back. Man, I missed our talks, dude.
Yeah, well, it's probably a little bit less fun that we aren't able to get together in person for this one. I guess we haven't been able to get together in person for a while, right?
I know. We should be used to this. Like, luckily, we're used to this right now, but I miss being able to come to your apartment and, like, hang out and do this in person.
I know. But this is, I mean, it's the next best thing, PG.
Well, we got to hang out a bit over this whole quarantine madness. You came and played some games on my stream, so that was fun. And if people don't know, over quarantine, I was running a stream. I had a Patreon. It was called PG Plays, and I was running these like social deduction games over Zoom with a bunch of survivors.
Yes, and that was a lot of fun. Are you still doing that?
I would like to, but it's been quite a while, just because I think once most of the restrictions lifted, I could not get a butt in the seat. Like, everybody was so over the Zoom thing. And I was too, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just people were cabin fever, right? So everyone was going on trips. They were going out. Like, I mean, you know how difficult it is booking people for the podcast and then trying to get seven of them to mm-hmm. come like every week is impossible.
Yes, I know. It's like trying to get together people for a merge vote. It's like a live tribal. Like, you got this person, you got this person. Wait, no, where are you going? Okay, get back here. God, get back here. We need you. We need you. Yeah. So, yes, I can relate to that. Yeah. So, PG, if people don't know, what's going on with the Reality Escape Pod?
Oh, my God, that's right. And I started a podcast, too. So you guys can check it out at realityescapepod.com. And it is a podcast about immersive gaming, mostly mm-hmm. escape rooms. But we interview different creators of all different areas that's like adjacent to it. So like people that are in immersive theater, escape rooms, of course, but people who make all kinds of games and puzzles. We interviewed Neil Patrick Harris, who it turns out he was like a big fan of the season one of the podcast and he listened to it. And he is a huge Survivor fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I had seen that. I saw an interview somewhere where somebody has shared that Neil Patrick Harris, they asked him, what are you watching on TV? He's like, I love Survivor 41.
Yeah, yeah. He is a huge fan of Survivor. He's a fan of any of this kind of immersive fun stuff, basically all the stuff that I love. So like magic, he loves escape rooms, he loves puzzles, he loves just kind of weird theater stuff mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So all of this is right up his alley. So he came on the podcast, he was telling us about how he's
been wanting to go on the podcast, PG.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And what did you interview him about?
Well, so he actually came out with a really cool at-home game called Box One. So it's like a puzzle box. It's
not boxed wine.
Not boxed wine. Okay. box.
That's very wine. Fun also.
It's one of my favorite games along mm-hmm. with Box One. but so he came on to talk about the game that he had created, but we talked about all kinds of stuff, just all the different things that he likes. He recently came out with a newsletter. You can sign up for that. So this is turning into like a big plug for Neil Patrick Harris.
yes.
But he's a sweetheart. Like, he is one of those people that he's involved in so many projects because if he sees something he likes,
yeah,
he like gets involved. So he like listened to our podcast and then like he left a comment on the Instagram on our like finale episode. And he was like, I loved it. And I was like, will you please come on? And he was like, yes, I'd love to. So he just likes to support small creators, which I thought was really cool.
Cool. And so, all right. So in addition to interviewing Neil Patrick Harris, that you're talking about all different escape rooms and different puzzles. And so has Survivor 41 given you a lot of inspiration in terms of all the new things they're trying in Survivor 41, PG?
I would say it's more like all the things that I talk about, Survivor 41 has taken inspiration from that.
Okay.
I'm going there because, and I feel like, not like I know this, but so like my first guest on season one of the podcast was Alon Lee.
Yes.
Alon is the creator of Exploding Kittens.
Yes.
He's also really good friends with Jeff Probst and he's mm-hmm. a huge Survivor fan. Like just one of the most fun, kindest, smartest human beings I've met. But I feel like I see some of his influence in some of the twists and game like turns that has happened for season 41. Like there's been a lot more of these weird kind of gameplays or strategies that you kind of see in weird kooky games. And I feel like there's a lot of that influence coming in.
Yeah. PG, I guess as somebody who studies games, I think the question that a lot of the viewers are asking is, you know, how can Survivor like throw more wrinkles into the game to keep it exciting, but prevent it from just feeling random?
This is such an easy fix. Like, I don't know why they haven't done it. Okay, so I'll preface this with saying, like, I play a lot of these social deduction games where there's twists and turns and advantages. Like, we play games like Blood on the Clock Tower or Werewolf, where people have roles. Some of the roles have different powers, right? Which are like akin to an advantage. And so, but you don't know who is who. Everybody just says, oh, I'm a villager. I don't have anything, right? But you know that they're out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key difference, is knowing that they're out there. I've played games before where I almost quit gaming because what they did was they had secret roles in there that we were not told about beforehand. Right. So like you thought you were one thing. Oh, actually, turns out you were this other role who only thinks they have a power, but they don't have it. But we don't know that. We are not told this ahead of time, which kind of sucks. Now, the balance to that is, so what we now do is we have, say there's 15 players. We will list 20 possible roles. So you know what's out there, but you don't know exactly which ones are in the game. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like in that sense, it kind of evens the playing field. People can start strategizing based on what advantages they know. I'm going to pull this back. So if I was Survivor, what I would do is I would come up with I would even give a list of 20 different advantages, 20 different possibilities that might happen in the game, right? You don't know which ones. You don't know which ones are out there, but these are all the possibilities. Now everybody can kind of make contingencies. They can kind of plan for what may or may not happen. But you don't know exactly what they are going to be putting in the game. You don't know exactly who has them. And I think that would make it a lot more interesting.
That's really interesting. I never heard that idea before, but I think it's pretty fun where, you know, if you were playing a game of Mafia and then, you know, here are all the different roles that potentially could be out there. You get like the drink menu. And then I wonder if they think that then the players would be talking too much about possibilities that aren't in the game and might give them a lot of stuff that they can't use.
They're already... Mm-hmm. That seems more fair. I mean, yeah, it's possible, but
definitely more fair. Yeah.
There's so much talking about it anyway. And they're already doing that. Oh, do you think so-and-so has an idol? Well, we have to do this in case he has an idol. They're already doing that, mm-hmm. you know? So you just put the list of what possibilities are, or there's idols. You don't know where they can be found.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think knowing that there's an idol, but not knowing where or how they can be found, I think that's a fair thing. You know, it sucks feeling like it's not a fair playing field. And I get everyone's like, oh, well, Survivor's not fair. Life's not fair. Yeah, no shit. Life isn't fair. This is why I play games, because I like that games try to be fair and balanced. Life mm-hmm. is already unfair. Like, I don't want that. I want to go into a game feeling like I'm kind of on an even playing field. Everybody starts off with the same pool of knowledge.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting last night. Deshaun talked about how that, yeah, hey, look, this is like future Survivor players have to know. Jeff has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. It's Survivor 41. We can't get hung up on this. But it's a weird lesson to take away that really, like, hey, just remember, anything could also happen.
Yeah, but it feels so arbitrary. It feels like such BS to have a win taken away from you. And again, look, a lot of it is BS. It's BS that you got six super strong players on a really physical challenge, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know. I feel like there were a lot of unbalanced things that were happening. I think even the whole hourglass deal was super unbalanced. I mean, if you're offering the player who makes the choice, they get immunity also. Mm-hmm. It's such a no-brainer. Like, I think they should have taken that out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Either you get immunity either way or you don't either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your decision only affects other people.
So overall, Survivor 41, you know, it's I think this is a weird week. I mean, not as weird as last week, but we had an episode where a lot of things came together for a Survivor last night. And so is this the moment that, you know, Survivor is kind of like saying to the audience, like, hey, trust the process. Look, we know what we're doing. Or should we be kind of feeling like, well, I guess you kind of got lucky?
I think a little bit of both. It's been a very producers have been really heavy-handed mm-hmm. this season. I don't know if it's the editing. I don't know if it's inside the gameplay. If it's, you know, a lot of it seems like it's really prompted. You know, even like in the tribal, where after Xander has his whole speech about the idols, like Jeff, and then Jeff is immediately like, so Liana, what do you think about that? Like, mm-hmm. nudge, hello, here's mm-hmm. here's your moment. You know what I mean? So it did feel quite manipulated into getting us those results. Cause I do feel like part of it is like, hey, there is a payoff here, but we're going to make sure that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we haven't really talked about the specifics of the vote last night. What were your reactions to all that, PG?
Oh my God, I'm so glad I got to recap this episode. It was amazing. I don't remember the last time that my heart was pounding so much watching the votes being read out, watching the tribal council. It was so exciting. And then you ended up getting really, really invested. I hate live tribals. I don't like it. I don't understand why they allow them. I think it's like, you know, we get left out of so much of the strategy and the scrambling of the part that's interesting to us. Like, there's a reason why there's a gag order. They don't let us talk on our way to tribal. It's like, so you're not going to let us talk on our ways to tribal, but you're going to let them huddle and whisper. I don't know. It's not as much.
What should they do, PG?
Open discussion? I don't know. This is such a weird thing, like for an old school player like me, which I didn't even know that this was allowed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't think so, but back in the day, you wouldn't have thought of going up to whisper to somebody.
Well, I mean, it really wasn't allowed back in the day. I mean, I think that they made like a conscious decision where I think that it happened, and I think they said like, oh, this is exciting, and they just let it happen. Like going back to Survivor Marquesas is a point where Kathy tries to like say like, can I just go and say something to V, and Jeff says, no, you could say what you want to her right here. So like, it definitely is a shift that they did change it at some point, but it's weird. I feel like that in this point, I think that they're sort of like a little bit like, hey, you gotta let the players play here. It's almost like that in like everything else they do is really so focused on catering to the television audience and trying to like have all these big shocking moments. And in this, they're sort of like, all right, let's let the players have this.
I mean, I get it, but it's so hard to follow. Like, luckily yesterday, it was actually kind of easy to see what was happening. And there was a lot going on. And they had two different huddles, right? Yes. Not just the one.
I think they've gotten better at doing the, like in the first episode of the season, we had a live tribal and they were doing some like captioning of the whispering that was going on. And this one started off like very chaotic and then sort of like really ended up in two different huddles that we sort of knew what was going on. So I think that they have done a better job covering these on the show than they did a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, it was relatively easy to follow. And I guess this is just the trend. So there's no point in bitching about it because this is what, like, when's the last, I feel like there's live tribal, like almost every episode.
Well, it's a good question. And I feel like that, you know, you have a great sense of like what would be fair in a game. So, you know, could they say everybody has to sit in their seat, but does it penalize players who are sort of like in not so great seats like Ricard this season? That he is deaf in one ear and that he has like posted on social media about how they have always sat him to the far left of the tribal council. So he has the best opportunity to hear what's going on with his ear that he has a better hearing. And so for him, like if you cannot get up from your seat, like I think it puts that player at a disadvantage.
I get that. It's just, I don't know. I guess the viewer in me wants to see everything that's happening in every huddle.
Mm-hmm. Could they put a time limit on it? Could they sort of like have one moment at the tribal council, like 60 seconds of chaos, and then everybody has to sit back down?
60 seconds isn't enough to do anything. And you know how long these tribal councils go on. But you know that tribal council can go on for almost 2 hours sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And then it gets condensed into 15 minutes or last night's episode, like 2 hours. But it's a lot. I mean, even yesterday, like, do you remember watching and you were like tribal council at like 8:30? Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. We're like, there's still half an hour left of the episode and they're already at tribal council.
Yeah,
so
I agree. And I think that really this was another thing that was where having this as two nights of the show that if they would have had where it was basically a 2-hour episode from last week, and then if you spent 25 minutes at Tribal Council, I think nobody would say boo about that, because it's like, well, I got like, you know, the whole like first hour and a half of the episode where I ended up getting to see a little bit more of what was going on. Here, it's almost like that we got like another, you know, I can't believe it's all tribal.
Yeah, it's tough because it is fun to see people scrambling on the fly as well. I think that's, you know, and that's a large part of what happens when you have all these advantages. Now, a lot of it is also about like, how do you pivot on a dime when something blows up your game? Like what happened, you know, with the whole idol thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we saw Sydney go out at this big explosive. I had the chance to speak with Sydney this morning. PG, she has given some fired up exit interviews today.
I mean, since when hasn't she given any fired up confessionals?
Yeah.
You know what? I will say this. So you'll be very proud of me, Rob. I did my homework. I only had to cram like 3 episodes before coming in.
Yes.
All of them. And I also watched yesterday's episode twice.
Very good.
And the first time I watched it, I could not be more thrilled to get rid of Sydney. Like, I was over her. I was over the whole attitude. You know, I was really worried, like, I was going to come on here and say a bunch of unkind things. But I watched it again.
Sound like you.
Is that meant to be sarcastic?
No, I mean, I can't remember the time when you really like laid into somebody on the podcast.
I was about to. I was this close watching this casually. But then I watched it again. And honestly, she really actually kind of grew on me. Like, I get that. I think she's gotten a lot of pushback because she comes off, I don't know, kind of entitled or just... Yeah.
I mean, she tells you in her interviews and on the show, like, hey, I love myself. And
I'm self-obsessed.
You know, and she's always going to talk about how great she is. So I definitely think that rubs some people the wrong way. I can tell you from my exit interview, she is not a fan of Heather at all and not a fan of Nasir.
I can see that. I mean, she's like one of those people that I feel like I actually feel like I might get along with her in person. Because I don't know. There's something about that attitude that I think is really fun, but it's a bad look on TV. Like, even the exit comments is a bad look. Like, as much as I would have loved, like, I was everything that she said. I mean, I appreciate her honesty. Everything that she said in her final confession, like, well, my life is like a kajillion times better, so screw this. You know, screw you guys, screw everybody. Like, I appreciate this unbridled honesty, because everybody thinks this. When you're so bitter when you're voted out, every single person is thinking the same thing. And I remember, like, in my head, I had to constantly repeat to myself, do not say this out loud. Do not say it. Be a good sport. Like, this will, it's just such a bad look. So it's like, on the one hand, I appreciate her honesty with that, you know. I've seen a lot of things online saying, like, they're kind of comparing her to, like, Tyson and stuff. I think if she had been a little bit funnier, she could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. So,
you know, it's interesting. What do you think is the difference between Sydney and a Courtney who you played with? Because, you know, Courtney, you know, has, you know, made some comments about players that she doesn't necessarily like. But Courtney is beloved.
Because Courtney was funny. Yeah. I mean,
you know, I think it also is.
Richie, if you're funny, it's all is forgiven.
And also, in thinking it through, like, that Courtney is also like self-deprecating, where, you know, that, you know, somebody will be like criticizing Courtney and she'll be like, okay, you know what, like, I'm not good at whatever, and but you suck too, you know, and, you know, will like give, like, put herself down but also put down the other person, where Sydney is like, no, I am great and you suck.
Exactly. Like, everybody likes cheering for an underdog that's punching up. You never cheer for people who are punching down.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, we get it. You're young. You're beautiful. You're probably rich. Like, you're smart. You're in law school. You have all the things. So it's not fun to see you punching down. at somebody who clearly is already, like, she's older, she's not doing great at the challenges, she's not so set in her her alliance mates. Like, nobody's going to feel sorry for you, mm-hmm. Sydney. Sorry you had to put up with somebody like sandbagging you, you know? So that's, I guess that's why it's just, yeah, it's just not a good look. Courtney was really funny, and they're polar opposites. Courtney's like, I hate this game. I don't want to be here. Like, I had to get talked into this. Like, look at me. I could barely keep myself warm. Like, you need to get mm-hmm. away from me. You need to shut up. Like, she was, Courtney was unilaterally grumpy towards everybody.
Yeah.
Also, which again, it's like, okay, you know what? She's talking smack about this person. She's talked smack about Todd, like mm-hmm. her best friend in the game. So it doesn't have quite the same feeling, I think.
PG, did you happen to catch over the summer that we had our listeners rank the seasons? I watched all of the seasons, one a week for all of 2021 leading up to Survivor 41. And do you know where Survivor China ranked?
Was it top five?
Top five. It was, I believe it was number five.
Rob, I follow you on Twitter.
Yes. Okay. You knew. You knew. It was right there. Yeah.
So. I'm glad that people still remember it because I can't believe it's been so long. Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when was that? Was that 2007?
2007. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any big plans for next fall to commemorate the 15-year anniversary of Survivor China?
Oh my God, that makes me feel so old. I don't know, but we should. You know what? Todd promised us that if he won, he would take everyone who voted for him on a cruise.
Yes.
And I feel like maybe I should make him cash in on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That, where would the cruise go? Would it be like a theme cruise?
You know, I've been, okay, so like pre-pandemic, like all of this stuff, actually my dream was to do like a big Survivor event on a cruise ship. How much fun would that be? Like, have it be themed. We can invite survivors and fans and like do all this kind of theme stuff.
That might get a little too crazy, PG.
That's the whole point, Rob.
Did you go to the 10-year, like they had like the party that was like on an island?
I missed it.
I didn't go to that either. I was like, this sounds too crazy.
I don't remember why I couldn't make it. Like, I kind of regret not being able to go, mm-hmm. but I think, I don't know, I was living in Australia at the time or something, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about the play from Liana to use the knowledge is power advantage. Did you think it had a shot to work?
Oh my God, the edit did Liana so dirty. the producers had it in for her because, like, they showed so many confessionals of her being super cocky about, you know, I can't wait to play this. I'm going to come into my own in the game. They even did things like showing her basically being talked into voting for Evie by Shan. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after they show a confessional, I'm so glad I get to make all my own decisions now. And like, I was like, this is such a bad look for Liana. I feel like you already immediately kind of knew it wasn't going to mm-hmm. work just from the edit alone. Like they really played it up so much.
So did you know exactly how it was going to play out? Did you know that it was going to be a fake idol that Xander had?
Okay, come on. He could not be more obvious. He's like, well, fellow players,
yes,
look at this
yes.
idol that I have in my pants.
It'll be on me the whole time.
Playing it for Evie
Don't
right
worry.
Here.
Yeah.
it was,
I like what you said about the plan.
Going around telling everybody. He's like everybody and their mother that he's playing it for Evie. It was, I don't know. I guess, look, to us watching at home, all seeing eye, of course, it seems so obvious. You know, we don't know exactly the sequence of events that completely went down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The one thing I will say, too, is that we do see that at one point, like Liana was like, well, what if he gives it to Evie? You know, should we anticipate that he's going to give it to Evie? And then Shan was like, oh, no, she's not smart enough to do that. She's not mm-hmm. going to do that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, again, she actually had the thought and she could have countered it. And then she got talked out of it by Shan.
Well, what should she have done in that spot? Do you think that Liana should have potentially just aborted the mission and not done anything?
So I saw this. I can't take credit for this. I saw this on Reddit.
Yes.
But somebody said, what if she had given her advantage to Shan? So she asks Xander, hey, do you have an idol? And then he's like, no, you can have this fake one. And the Shan's like, well, I actually have the advantage. And then now she can roll the dice with, you know what I'm saying? Like either they don't do anything with it and they keep it and they have it for later, or yeah. Shan could have rolled the dice and then asked Evie or Tiffany.
So that is tricky. You know, she is sort of like announces it like, hey, I have the knowledge is power advantage. She takes it out. So I guess in this instance, she says, hey, I have the knowledge is power advantage. Do you have it? I guess that she never thought that it could have been a fake idol that he had. I think that, you know, we've seen Ricard and I mean, if anything, Shan, who was in with Ricard on the plan to give Jeannie a fake idol, basically like do a different version of this plan on Jeannie, might have said to Liana, like, oh, wait, hold on a second. Like, hold on. Is that real?
Yeah, I mean, they were playing it up so much, but again, it's hard to see. I mean, they had the chat. They may have like reassured her that they were completely on her side. We got a little glimpse of Evie talking to her saying, oh, yeah, he wouldn't give it to me. Like, he kept it. I want, you know, he wants to have the big moment. Yes. I don't even know if I trust him. Like, so that might have been reassuring enough that they got kind of bluffed by it. I don't know.
PG, what was the more dramatic moment? What we saw last night or the merge vote in Survivor China when Jamie Dugan played the fake idol?
That's a tough one. The idol thing was pretty good. That got me. Like, mm-hmm. I think at that point, I didn't even know that there were idols because nobody had them really back then. So I was in shock. I actually did think she was bluffing because I didn't even think that she had one, you know. I just thought it was really funny to see Jean Bear stand up like, oh, my God, like, and he knocked his stool over and everything. Like, that was pretty good. Maybe I'll have to go back and watch that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for Jamie, she didn't know that if it was real or not. Right. She just was like, well, I guess I'm going to get voted out anyway. Right.
Well, she did know it was fake.
Yeah.
But I think she got talked into playing it by the, you know, by
the powers that be or by the players.
Yeah. by the powers that be.
Like, you should. It'll be hilarious. You should do it.
Yeah. No, this is what she told me. She was like, they told her, they were like, if there's even a 1% chance that it's real, they're like, what's the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't play it, nothing, but maybe it's real. So why not? Like, nothing bad will happen if you try.
It's like such entrapment. They're like, but I mean, like, oh, what's the harm? I mean, like, doesn't hurt. Like, why not? And then it's like, ha ha, idiot, moron. Can't believe you fell for it. Can't believe you did it.
She was pissed afterwards. I think she actually complained and got like an apology from somebody. I don't know. This is hearsay, but
okay. Look, she has a husband and a family from Survivor. Like, it's even, right?
She's doing, you know what? She's doing just fine. She's really thinking about it.
She's doing fine. Okay. PG, I wanted to get your opinion on where do we go from here after this crazy tribal where we saw the lines seemingly like so defined. What do you think is going to be happening at the next vote? Do you think that like this will be a season where we'll have like, okay, basically it's going to be everybody versus Yasa, or is this going to be a season where it's sort of like, you know, almost like what happened in, you know, like Second Chances, or it's like, you know, every single vote could be, you know, a different configuration?
That's a tough one to say. I mean, I think so. The first merge vote is always kind of a little bit scary. You really don't want to be the first one, especially in this where you might not even make the merge. So I think that's a large reason why we had such a big alliance, like all these heavy hitters on one side and then just like the Yasa 3 on the other. You had somebody like Erica who came back, who ended up voting with the people that were trying to vote her out.
Yeah.
But I understand because she was gone for 2 days. She probably didn't have a lot of time to strategize with anybody. She's just going to stick with the people she knows for now.
Right.
You know, I have a feeling.
Can we just pause on that for a second? Because yeah, that's a really good point. Because I, you know, this was like one sort of like episode cycle that they saw over two episodes when they had the challenge. They basically like came back. And it was like, okay, we're merged. And then Erica, I mean, what'd she have? Like maybe 2 hours tops back on the beach?
Yeah. Like, you know what? Like, I will say, we didn't see any fallout really either. Maybe there was and they didn't show it, but we didn't see anybody like, oh, like, why did you do, you know, why did you screw us over like that? Like, we didn't see any of that coming back. So I don't know if it actually happened or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. I asked Sydney in the exit interview, like, were you mad at Erica for bringing the hourglass? And she's like, no, I would have done it too, because that I think that it was like such a like obvious choice where you can be safe or you could, you know, be one of the five people that's up for elimination.
Exactly. I mean, and again, like I said, if you're like, well, it gave me immunity, so sorry, I'm going to throw all of you guys under if it's going to save myself, and you would have done this. Everyone knows they would have done the same.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense. Yeah, she probably didn't have a lot of time to strategize, I guess. And so probably also seeing that the people that are up for elimination are mostly people that she doesn't know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense to stick with the evil you do know for now. And I do think that if the Yasuo 3 are smart, they'll try to pull her and Heather in. I mean, we saw at the tribal, everyone's scrambling, and then Erica and Heather are just sitting there like, like, get up from your seats and go stand somewhere. Like, I don't care if you're not contributing. Just, what's up, guys? Like, what are we doing? You know? Like, I don't understand how you could just sit there and not do anything. And then, like, at least, so Jeff feels so sorry. He starts talking to Erica because he's like, well, no one else is talking to you, so I'll start talking to you. And so you could hear her, like, just talking again. Well, I had the chance to turn back history. Like, and she goes on again about it.
Yeah, well, no, Jeff was like, Erica, can you believe that because you did all this? Like, come on, Jeff. Like, stop with the, like, we know you want to say the twisted everything. Stop it.
I know. And then they pan out and it's like her and Heather are just like kind of just sitting there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know. I think that it's still going to be a tough sell. Like if you are Erica or even Heather and you know that you're on the bottom of like this group of, I don't know, six or seven, and there's a group of three over there. But if you join them, you're going to be on the bottom of that four. I guess being on the bottom of four is better than being on the bottom of six. I don't know.
I think at this point in time, it's better to be on the bottom of six than to be on the bottom of four.
Exactly.
Because the six, I think, is probably going to outlast the four.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that gains you like a bunch more spots. So I don't. Mm-hmm.
And then you got to look at it. Then when the four is like down to two, then maybe you think about, okay, well, let me get with the five over here and maybe the four over here and then pick up whoever's left from the four, the original four.
I don't see a path for the Yasuo as much as I love them because I love underdogs. I always love the underdogs. So, but I don't know that I see a path for them unless like Nasir jumps, maybe Ricard jumps.
Yeah,
maybe
that was my idea last night with on the know-it-alls. I was talking about how that I feel like that there is probably a shot for, you know, we saw Ricard talking with Erica and could Ricard pick up Erica and Heather? I got the sense from Sydney that Nasir and Heather were the people that were on the bottom at Luvu. So, you know, could Ricard, you know, talk to some of those people that were at the bottom at Luvu and then try to pick them up? And it really comes down to, you know, Danny and Deshaun working with Liana and Shan. You know, how much is that group sort of known to the other players? Like, you know, we saw in Big Brother this summer that the cookout that they were able to hide their alliance from the other players in the house. Nobody ever suspected that they were a four, but I just don't know how much time is the four that the black players have made. Like how much time are they spending together where people kind of know that that's a four?
I feel like it's got to be fairly obvious just because, I mean, if you look at it, the Yas, like Tiffany and Xander knew that Lyanna had basically jumped ship.
Lyanna and Shannon, right? They seem like they're attached to the hip, and Danny and Deshaun seem like they're attached to the hip. But has anybody made the connection of like the 2 and 2 is 4?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. They've all voted together.
They all voted together. If they go off together, 4 people missing at once is a little bit conspicuous.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I guess if Ricard kind of looks and sees that Shan is getting really close, like Lyanna and these other people, and he's starting to feel maybe a little bit of that separation from her, I feel like he probably already got a little bit sketched out because she kept demanding this advantage back from him, which like if I was him and I was her ally, I'd be like, so you want to have all of them, and like you have one, I have one. That seems like a partnership, right? Suddenly you're demanding all the advantages in this relationship. I mean, listen, I don't think it's going to work well. That this is how I was in like all of my relationships. Like I'm always demanding all the advantages and guess what? I'm single. Mm-hmm. So like,
in real life, not this isn't a survivor thing. Yes. What are the advantages in a relationship, PG?
You know what, Rob? It's been so long, I wouldn't even know anymore. Okay. You tell me.
I don't know.
There are none.
There are certainly some. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And did you watch Big Brother at all over the summer?
No, I don't. I don't really watch that much TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was just going to say that in Big Brother, you know, there was an alliance of all the black players, and that, you know, we sort of like laughed at the time that there was one person in that alliance, Big D, who he got into a lot of fights with other people in the alliance, and he said that was his claim to like what he brought to the alliance was that he got into a lot of fights with people, and then nobody ever thought that they were a real alliance. I kind of feel like that, you know, maybe you need that person to be able to hide a big alliance on Survivor these days. So if you somebody to get into fights with the other people in the alliance, like, oh, they're not working together.
Were those real fights or staged fights?
No, I think they were real. but everyone's I never thought that they were working together because they got in so many fights.
See, maybe that's the difference. And that's why, I think that can really help because you kind of look, you have a sense of who's friendly with who out there. It's a hard sell to be like, well, we're friends, but I'm not in an alliance with them.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of a hard sell.
I think it is harder to hide your alliance on Survivor than it is to hide your alliance on Big Brother. Because one, that the Big Brother vote is a binary choice. It's it's a lot of house votes. It's like by a vote of 11 to 1, this person is voted out. I think that there's a lot more, you know, people write the votes, you know, basically, I think for the most part, who voted for whom. There's very few like hinky votes on Survivor where you don't know necessarily, wait, who cast that vote for me? If it happens in Survivor, it's like more of a big thing. Plus the way that people like spend time together, like sleep next to each other on Survivor, I think that you could be able to tell like who's working with who, where on Big Brother you could have sort of pass each other in the hallway, have a quick conversation, and that's that. Where on Survivor, I just think that you're so much more exposed in terms of who your allies are.
I heard that they instituted the rule where you couldn't sleep together anymore. Like you couldn't cuddle together for warmth on Survivor. Is that true?
I have no idea. I don't know if that's because of after season 39. I don't know. I guess they feel like just everybody needs to sleep by themselves.
Well, I think I saw early on in one episode where everyone was sleeping on the beach and it was like there were like 3 feet in between each person.
Yeah.
And I was like, because you know, it gets really cold.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, everyone's all, you know, and I get it. Like, again, not everybody is going to huddle up right away if it's not so cold that you really have no, no choice.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that yet before. That's actually very interesting. I wonder if if there is like a, you know, will we ever see a showmance and end up together? If that's like not going to be allowed.
When's the last time we had a showmance?
I mean, it's been a minute. I mean, season 35, we had Cole and Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, in season three, in David versus Goliath coming to Netflix, you know, there was a little bit of like showmance with Dan and Kara. That was sort of like, but that was like flirtiness. The start of something. And then ultimately, I don't even think that Alec and Kara was a thing like on the island until after the show was over. And then, yeah, I don't really think that there was anything in the next couple seasons of like romantic pairs. Robin Amber.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that showmances were like the least interesting part of Survivor the show. I think they're very interesting. Just watching the gossip afterwards. But on it, like, I don't really care. I could care less, I guess. I remember even in China, the producers were constantly asking, like, oh, you and Dave been hanging out a lot. What do you think about him? No, but they would ask about everybody. Like, they were like, so you and Frosty seem pretty close. You guys kind of cuddle less than anything going on there. And I was like, ew, he's like my little brother. Like, he's like 15 years younger than me. But they would just ask you constantly about everybody. Oh,
look, you don't need to tell me, PG.
So the producers are constantly hunting for showmances, but that might have died out like in newer seasons where, again, as noted last night, it seems to be less about relationships and more about just pure gameplay and strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that that's by design?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess seeing those relationships can only go so far. It's not only design, but it's also with the shift of the types of players coming in. Mm-hmm. When they used to just have regular people are going to just come in and do what regular people do, which is form relationships. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas if you come into this as a gamer, as a player, as a super fan, you are going to be much more strategy focused, and it's less. I think it becomes definitely less about relationships. Of course, relationships still come into play in all aspects of our lives, like with anything, you know.
You know, I just think that they find players, or like, I think they do such a good job of like finding people who come in who want to like play hard, that I almost feel like that they don't need to give them as much weaponry. Like, I think that like what they're always afraid of is that the show is going to get boring and then there's going to be like a pagonging. But I just think that all of the players are so self-interested and want to play so aggressively that I feel like that that's not a big concern that that could happen in a modern day season.
Okay, I will say this. I did not used to be a fan of twists until I started running my own games on my Patreon. So I run a game. We call it... let me give a shout out to all of my patrons. I promised them I would. So shout out to all the PG's Play patrons. You guys know who you are. We play this game called Discord Werewolf via Discord. It's a silly name, but that's what we call it.
Discord Werewolf via Discord.
Via Discord. So it's basically Werewolf, but we play it. It's all text based.
Okay.
Right. So you're and we only vote out one person per day. So it's just you just kind of play it on your phone casually, like throughout the course of an entire day. And so that it takes place over like a week. Right. The first time I played it, it was fun. But right away, like the second time I played it, I was like, OK, this is getting people are getting too good at this. And it is predictable and kind of boring, and you don't want to see, like, you know, you spend all this time crafting this game, and when the players have figured it out immediately, they already know everybody, like what to do, who's this, we know this person's the seer, we know this person's so and so, we're just going to get rid of him, we're going to win, we know that he's the wolf, we're just going to vote him out, and now the game's over in 2 days that I spent like a week crafting, you know. So I'm like, I don't want to see this game be over. So then I started introducing twists. I started making like puzzle hunts, and you have to find an idol. And so now somebody has an idol. Now I started the third season. I started throwing in like the Wheel of Misfortune. If you had said, I made up like a phrase every day, and if you said it, then you
did you invent the Beware Advantage, PG?
This actually sounds sounds exactly like the thing that I had. So the Wheel of Misfortune, there were advantages and disadvantages. If you accidentally said the phrase of the day, this is a very like Pee Wee Herman, like he said the secret phrase. And then you'd get pulled into this room, you'd spin the wheel. There was a small chance you could get a misfortune. And then some of them were silly. Like you had to speak in rhyme for the rest of the day. You know, I would love to see like those like, I mean, it was very similar to these, like, broccolis look like little trees. But, you know, so we did all that kind of stuff. But I kind of get it because as a viewer, and we have viewers, so some of the people who don't play, if you get voted off, you can watch from what we call the graveyard. So now we're watching this game unfold. And it gets boring to see that they figured it out. So this is why I threw in all these challenges. I throw in all these twists and turns, mostly for my own entertainment, I guess. So so now I'm fully on board. After having produced and created my own games,
so you're in on all the twists.
I'm in on the twists, but you know, the games that I'm running are not for big stakes. So yeah. I do think that there is quite a difference there. If it's walk away, basically we play this to have a good time. If there's real money involved, like life changing amounts of money, I do think that you can't be so cavalier with doing things just for your own entertainment. That said, this is a TV show, so I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot there. I mean, I think that's very interesting to hear, like, you know, the perspective of like why they're doing what they're doing. I think that just really the concern here in this season is just the amount of, you know, twists that are being thrown in there. But does that not bother you? Do you feel like that this seems like the right amount for this first season back after a year and a half with no Survivor?
I mean, look, as an old school player, I hate twists and advantages in Survivor. Like I played in a season where we barely had any and like having one.
It was like back to basics. Yeah.
Yeah. Tribe Swatch was momentous. It was you know. So as an old school player, I'm not a fan. I do think that these have been a little bit easier to follow. But like some of them are so OP. They're so overpowered. Taking an immunity win away from six people and giving it to the people who lost. Like that feels like bullshit to me. If you won an immunity, it's so the fact that it could just be arbitrarily taken from you, I think that undermines your trust in the show as a kind of quote unquote fair game. Yeah. You know, that advantage where she's like, not only you can ask somebody a question and then they have to give you their advantage. You know, and in this case, it was neutralized because everybody had the knowledge. So there ended up being no power, you know? So it was very interesting to see it play out.
And just the idea of everybody having the knowledge though, I feel like really saved that twist.
Yes. Yes. She had I took a screenshot because she actually had a very funny tweet that I thought was cool. That was pretty self-aware. Leanna tweeted, "It's called the knowledge is power advantage. And if everyone has the knowledge, then you don't got the power."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but even that is so OP. Like I kind of wish it had been maybe paired up. Maybe this is again, so you can ask the question. And then somebody else that has the other half of this advantage can then ask to take it. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, my issue with it was that I felt like that it was not fair to have that in a season where for the people with the idols, where everybody knew you had the idols. For Leanna, like, I feel like that it's almost like that it was overpowered, but that I felt like that it was actually like her fault that it ended, I mean, like to some degree, Shan, because Shan mentioned in front of Tiffany, but then she went and told Tiffany exactly what it was. And so,
oh my God, I was losing my shit when she did that. I was like, it literally says knowledge is power. Oh, and this is what I love. The editors kept doing every time they showed her talking about it. They had her on screen, Leanna, knowledge is power. And they put this next to her name every time to remind us about this whole knowledge of power, knowledge is power thing. And then, like, when Tiffany approached her and asked her about it, like, bitch, you don't have to spill all the beans.
Well,
like,
Tiffany says to her, wait, would you get an extra vote? And she's like, well, no, not exactly. And then she proceeds to tell her, like, I think Tiffany would have been fine with, yeah, extra vote. That's it.
Extra vote. Or you can say, like, I can ask somebody if they have an idol and they have to answer me truthfully. And that's it. Mm-hmm. You don't tell her that you get to take it. Just tell her that, oh, it's because you get to gain knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. Gaining knowledge is the advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the thing is, and did you notice, like, how much production protected Shan from all of this? No fallout about spilling the beans. No fallout even later on about how, well, everybody knew. And, well, actually, it's really kind of her fault. Like, there was really no follow-up on that.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel like that's a good sign for Shan?
Yeah, I think so. I think they only showed it because that's how Tiffany found out. So they had to show that how it happened, right? But afterwards, they kind of protected her from all the other fallout.
Just taking a quick break here, and we're going to come back with your questions for PG Law. But first, take a moment to thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at Theragun, makers of the Theragun Gen 4. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete or somebody like me, just trying to make through the day tension-free. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun, keep the 4, drop the 1. Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you're trying to treat your muscle tension from working out or an injury or just the stresses of everyday life or tribal council, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. It's got an OLED screen that is a design to make you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. The Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. We are big Theragun fans here at this house, of course. I love it for my neck and shoulders after long days of slaving over the podcast machine, looking at my phone. Of course, it works great for that. Plus, the First Lady of Podcasting tends to overdo it in various workouts. It's great for all of your leg muscles, especially your back muscles, anywhere where you are trying to recover from a very strenuous workout, trying to get back in the gym quicker. Theragun's going to help you do the trick. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid, elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/RHAP right now to get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/RHAP, therabody.com/RHAP. PG, I have some questions for you from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast.
Okay.
Let's go. All right. Nancy wants to know, has Liana damaged her game permanently by publicly turning on her former tribe at Tribal? Will it affect others' ability to want to work with her?
Oh, I mean, her game is dead in the water, like, right now. I think she's totally burned all of her bridges, you know, with her original alliance mates. Like, you did not have to. She did it in such a sing-songy way. Like, she did it in such a showboating kind of way. And there's ways to pull it off with, like, I'm so sorry, I have to do this for you, but I think it, you know what I mean? Like, like, there's ways to do it without feeling like you're kind of rubbing it in their faces, which I feel like she was kind of doing a little bit. So I feel like that bridge is burned. Shan had to explain to her at Tribal that Evie is still protected, which, like, again, this was not a good look, especially the fact that the editors showed her saying this. They did not have to show this moment, this private moment between them where they're like, wait, like, Evie's still unprotected. We can vote for her. And Shan's like, hello. Like, she's probably the one that has the idol.
Yeah, I think maybe in Liana's mind, I think when she's like, oh, wait, Xander never had an idol. He had a fake idol. We can do this. Like, no.
Yeah. So I don't think this is a I don't think this bodes well.
Sweet Liana. No.
Exactly. The sweet summer child.
yes.
This does not bode well for her game, but will it help? Does it make her seem so bad at the game that now everyone's going to want to take her to the end?
Yeah. Is this the death blow? I wouldn't think so.
No, you would not take her. Like, if you were Shan, if I was Shan, I would drag her all the way to the end.
Right. So I just don't think that necessarily, like, I think we're saying the same thing, because it's not like, okay, well, Liana's next to go because this didn't work.
Oh, no, I don't think she's
the majority.
I don't think Liana's going anywhere. I think she's going to go very deep because she's going to be a soldier. Liana's a good soldier, right? Mm-hmm. She's basically doing every single thing that Shan is telling her to do.
Mm-hmm.
She even went against, like, and she knew that she was kind of like, Evie, I don't think it's a bit, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't really want to go this way and she got talked into it. So I don't see her going anywhere anytime soon. I also don't see her winning.
What I do think is going to be interesting to watch next week is going to be Liana and Tiffany, because we know that Tiffany can be outspoken. And I think that Liana is probably going to have something to say to Tiffany about, like, so you had to tell everybody, right? And I could see that being like a little bit of some explosiveness when they get back from tribal.
Yeah, but she doesn't have a leg to stand on. She used it against them. So you can't, you can't really say anything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see this going anywhere. All of these people are holding.
It's interesting, PG, because, you know, that Liana, like, had the plan that didn't work, but she's still in the majority in terms of the people that voted together. So while she sort of like fell flat on her face, you would think she does have still protection because she had the people that voted with her at that last vote.
Well, this definitely cements her place in that alliance, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was willing to use her advantage against
her
former alliance. So now they know she's basically put all of her eggs in that basket. There's no going back there. So I guess in that sense, maybe it was good for her that she is like, there's no doubt anymore. She's totally jumped ship. So I guess that's, if you want to try to look at benefits, I guess that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How about this question from Twitter, which was, PG has such a memorable underdog story in China. What recommendations does she have for the Yasa 3 to overcome the 3 versus 8 numbers?
3 versus 8 is a lot. You have to work those cracks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to spread the paranoia and you've got to work the cracks. You got to see where you can dig in. I mean, there's still a lot of time for that to happen and there's still quite a lot of loose threads. So they got to pull on those. I mean, that's what I did. I looked at those numbers and I could see that, like, you know, James and Denise were kind of on the bottom. So that's really who I spent the most time working on. Amanda to some small degree, but I kind of knew she was never going to budge. But you get a sense of, like, where you can kind of chip away.
By the way, that question was from Theo T. Thank you, Theo, for that question. Okay. I have a question for you. This is from Casey. Was it the right move for Liana to betray old Yasa so early in the merge?
I mean, I want to say no, just because we know that it didn't pan out. So it's like, you don't want to betray someone unless it's going to pay dividends, right? Now you've burned that bridge and you really don't have anything to show for it. I mean, what she does have to show for it is now the new alliance has faith in her allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus, I guess. But if you wanted to be able to work both sides, potentially, it's probably not a good move to do it so early.
Yeah. I did feel like it was just a little bit early. Like, I think that Liana really got hosed by, like, there being just so few options with this, like, half the cast being safe, plus Ricard having immunity. And then so many of the people eligible to go up were people from Yasa. So, you know, Danny and Deshaun were not options. They were probably protecting this year. So it really came down to, it was either either going to be Evie or Sydney were the only other two names that they were like they could go for. And then Xander's sitting there with an idol trying to protect Evie. So I just wonder if, you know, could she have seen this coming earlier and then just all pivoted to Sydney quicker?
Yeah, she should have just saved her advantage, and then they just pile their votes on Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see any world in which Xander is going to play his idol for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder.
And plus, if, well, and Deshaun used his advantage also. He used his extra vote.
Deshaun used his extra vote. Yes. Yeah. So I wonder if the move might have been, could you have gotten Xander to flush his idol and play it on Evie and still vote out Sydney at that tribal council and not use knowledge as power? Like, if she doesn't play knowledge as power, what is Xander using the idol on Evie still?
I mean, that Xander got some gigantic balls, like bowling cojones, balls.
Yeah.
He got some big old bowling balls.
I like what you said about my balls.
I mean, not playing it. And then like stone cold, like, don't play it. Evie's like, play it. He's like, don't play it, Tiff.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I think I would have been like, all right, if you really think you need it, all right, play the idol.
It was so intense, like watching that. And he was just totally straight faced. Like they think I was going to play it for you. They wouldn't have voted for you. Don't worry. It's mm-hmm. good. It's good. Like, he had a lot of faith in his rumors, mm-hmm. but I guess that's probably why he like did the whole telling Danny about it. Really, really kind of playing it up that he's playing. He's 100% I'm playing my idol for Evie. Don't even think, you know, so I guess it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think they could have got to where they were without using the knowledge is power advantage. I'm just trying to think if there was like, I've gone back and forth of like, I want to always be fair to the contestants. And so I want to say like, oh, well, you know, that would be very hard to do. But do you think, was there enough there for the group to be able to just call the audible and just call off the knowledge is power plan and just do the vote split like they ended up doing?
Yeah. So, you know, oh, this is what I caught on the rewatch was I noticed Shan telling Tiffany that they were voting for Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to flush the idol, tell them you're voting for Evie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Tiffany went back and was like, oh, they're voting for Sydney. Like, what? You know what I mean?
I don't
like,
think they were ever thinking about flushing the idol because it was like they were so in on the plan. We're going to steal the idol.
That's true. They didn't have the contingency. They were like, that's going to work 100%. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Xander was playing some 5D chess. It was good.
And this wasn't like worst case scenario for the Yasa group on a lot of different levels, and that they still have Xander's idol.
Yeah. And they flushed two advantages. It was such a good play
and
by Xander.
And Xander's extra vote.
Oh, yeah. No, his stock is... Yeah. Just rising and rising. I don't know how far he can get, but he's cemented his place.
Yeah, and just to add to that, and we don't know if there'll be another extra vote in this week's episode, but, you know, with Xander, with like his back against the wall, Xander, Tiffany, Evie, that's three, plus Xander's extra vote is four. There's 11 people in the game. So hypothetically, you would think that they may only need to get if they get two more, that'll be five. They could at least tie it 6-6 with only five people.
Yeah, and especially if one of them manages to win immunity, that will mm-hmm. help.
And what if
also
somebody loses their vote next week?
Oh, that's right. And well, do we know? Are they? You think they're gonna? They're probably gonna not have those ship wheel.
I think we'll see it again.
So now, so more advantages coming into play, more God knows what.
Well, let me ask you this question. This is from Nick. Nick wants to know, has your opinion changed on the abundance of advantages after watching the proper merge episode? Seems like the new era could be about gaining advantages in the first half and letting them play out in the second half. Last night's tribal was so wild and entertaining. I have admittedly softened my initial distaste of all of the early advantages, but I guess you could look at it from Nick's perspective where he's saying like, yeah, it was a lot of advantages up front, but now we sort of loaded the season with advantages and now let's watch it play out. But I tend to feel like that we loaded it up with advantages and we're going to keep loading. I think that we will see just as many advantages in the second half of the game. Do you think that they'll say like, all right, play with the advantages we've given you now in the second half?
Could be both. I've come around on twisted advantages just because, at first it seems super confusing, but we've had at least 10 plus or more episodes, seasons at this point where there are so many. And now the viewers are educated.
Yeah.
Now we kind of have more of an idea of what's going on. We understand it a little bit better. So I feel like you had those first very twist heavy seasons where people hated it because they were probably freaking confused by it. Like, yeah. I was, and I'm like, this is too much math. Like, I don't like having, this is work. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want Survivor to like relax. And now I got to get out a notepad and keep track of like who has what and how these numbers play out. There's a lot of calculus going on.
But what I would say is that, you know, in the past, you know, we're in the advantage era, we get like one new advantage a season that gets added to the game. And this season, it felt like that we were getting one new advantage like a week added to the game. And I think even like talking about it with like survivors and like super knowledgeable fans, there was a lot of like, wait, what is this? How does this work? Wait, what's the mechanics of this? And like, can you do this with this? And it's like, so I do think that they added a lot in all at once here in this season.
They really did. I mean, they had a ton of new stuff, like those the sidetrack with the whole prisoner's dilemma. Yeah. So here's a new mechanic, and this is a way to build alliances. Well, I'm promising you that I'm not going to do it so you can have it. Like, that's kind of a new mechanic.
Do you like that? Yeah.
I don't love it. To be honest, mm-hmm. It's such a distraction. And again, it doesn't feel really that fair because basically whoever goes is the one that's given a chance. But like, not everybody gets an equal chance to get chosen, right? You can either volunteer yourself or you get picked. So only certain people are getting handpicked to do this. And I get that who you pick is a strategy to go as well.
Yeah.
So I
liked that they would like send people to go meet and like make a decision, but I didn't love the ship wheel part of it, where I talked about like maybe they could just like, okay, somebody's getting an extra vote and somebody's losing their vote, nobody leaves until you decide.
Yeah, it's and then they're changing it up. Before, all the advantages were you get an extra vote and then suddenly she got a new advantage. Mm-hmm. Right, like I feel like the first couple advantages were the same and then suddenly she got a new one.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I like some kind of consistency. If you're, and that feels a bit like a trick. Oh, well, we know the advantage is this is going to be an extra vote. Oh, there's so many extra votes. And then suddenly she gets the super OP, like knowledge is power thing, or like either have them all be different or have them all be the same. Don't have like a five of them be the same. And then suddenly one is different. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's probably good for you as a podcaster. You have a lot more to talk about.
Honestly, it's a blessing and a curse. That we always want things to talk about, but I think that because that the ground that the players are walking on is so squishy, where it's hard for like when the fans know exactly the rules of the game, then we can really get into discussions of like, oh no, what this person should do is this, but because everything is so like, well, anything could happen. If anything could happen, then it's hard to really discuss like what might happen, because now there are endless possibilities instead of like real possibilities that we could like sink our teeth into.
I mean, it's so hard because balancing a game is the hardest thing to do in the world. Like, I play League of Legends, and every couple months there's a patch because it's so hard to keep it balanced. Oh, we realize actually we overshot the mark on this guy. Mm-hmm. We got to take away some of his powers. Oh, now we took away too much. Now we got to add them back, but in a different way. You know what I mean? So they're constantly patching. They're constantly changing, making slight adjustments to the power levels of everything. And it's so hard to do in a game like this because there's not a lot of playtesting you could do. You know, I talked to a lot of game designers. All the good game designers playtest a ton. Like countless hours, iterations, trying a version, seeing how it plays out. Does it seem fair and balanced? No, we go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? And every season is basically a playtest, you know, of trying to get to that perfect balanced game. So on the one hand, it's like, well, is there such a thing as a perfectly balanced game? I don't know. I don't think it's possible. But it's tough when they can't test these. I mean, like I said, every season is testing, so it's never really going to be 100% fair or balanced.
So PG, give me just your overall assessment of where Survivor 41 is. Like, do you feel like, are you encouraged by like what they are working on in terms of adding stuff to the game, or do you feel like that they've gone in the wrong trajectory?
This is such a loaded, this is so hard for me to answer, because on the one hand, I really loved old school Survivor. I loved the relationships. I loved seeing that dynamic and seeing it play out with just new players alone is enough. New personalities is enough to make it interesting. But on the other hand, I like seeing gameplay. I like seeing how people react to unexpected twists and advantages. You know, I like seeing brilliant moves like we saw last night with like plays and counterplays and secret plans and people trying to anticipate like five moves ahead. You know what I mean? So it gets really tricky. Honestly, overall, I don't know that we can go back.
Yeah.
I think if you had a season.
What if we had an hourglass?
Yeah, well, we could smash the hourglass.
Yes.
we could turn it over and actually use it the way it was supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. I would not smash. I would not turn back history. I think I do like it where it is.
Yeah, I think that's just the big takeaway to like get from last night's episode. I feel like that, you know, just everybody understanding what could happen and understanding how to play those advantages that, you know, I think that if the players know what's coming, then I think that it will be able to be a thing where, you know, I think that we can follow more of these twists as long as it's not just like, oh, magic, this thing that you never saw coming ends up zapping people. Yeah.
See, this is what I said in the beginning, Rob. If the producers have a list of these are all the possible things that may happen.
Yeah.
You know, none of them could happen. All of them could happen.
And,
you know,
I think it worked out great for the show last night. I do think that they got lucky that Tiffany told everybody about Liana's advantage. Liana made the mistake and then Tiffany really exploited it and it made for great television. I think it was similar in David versus Goliath, where they introduced the idol nullifier. And then because there were a few other different wrinkles that the Davids had all the advantages, they were able to like use the idol nullifier at the right time and also steal a vote from Allison at the right time. So you had this thing where Dan, who nobody really was rooting for, ends up being the victim of the idol nullifier, and it worked out great there too, even though it was a thing that people didn't know about. But sometimes I think that they get lucky with all of these things going their way. And again, how much of it is luck and how much of it is trust the process.
And also how much of it is the producer saying, well, don't you think if you have this advantage, do you think anybody else out there has, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they ask some leading questions sometimes, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. So this to me, it worked out so perfectly that I kind of feel like there was maybe a little bit of behind the scenes magic like happening. I don't know. I'm not taking away anything from anybody.
PG, Kevin McLean has a question for you. Is there one moment in Survivor China that you wish you could smash the hourglass and turn back time on?
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. I would have told James to play his fucking idols.
That's right. That's right.
Like, is this even a question? I would have, well, first of all, I would have made damn sure that Eric actually voted for Todd, like I told him to, except he didn't. So I don't know if it would have worked out anyway, but like, ideally, that's what I would have done. I would have been like, you know, I would have told Eric, vote for Todd. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell, see if there was live tribal, if we were able, but see the live, I didn't even say that because I didn't even know that I could do that. I didn't know that I could suddenly yell out.
Yeah, but do you think that had that become a live tribal, that maybe James would have played one of his idols? Oh, you want him to. That's right.
I want him to play it, but I would not have wanted it live before the votes because I thought they were going to be voting for me.
Yes.
They would have just switched to the vote for me. So what I should have done is after the votes are read, when Jeff was like, does anybody want to play an idol? I should have been like, James, play one of
your
idols.
You don't even have to get up for that.
Yeah. I don't even know if he would have believed me. He probably would have thought I was trying to trick him into wasting one. Who mm-hmm. knows?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You two didn't always see eye to eye.
Yeah. Actually, I thought we got along really, really well out there. Mm-hmm. And we actually did. And we were friends like afterwards too. So, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that would have been it. So you would smash the hourglass. You know, we haven't talked too much about Erica and her decision. Did you like that they gave Erica that opportunity last week?
I really hated that whole twist. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate when they take immunity away from people, really, for such an arbitrary reason.
Have they ever done it before?
You're the historian.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't think it's ever happened before on Survivor where they, took somebody's immunity away.
No, and it's never fun to watch these haves and have nots. Like, it doesn't feel fair or balanced mm-hmm. or fun at all. Like I said, I kind of wish that it had more repercussions for her. I mean, there was this is a no-brainer for her. It gives you immunity. Mm-hmm. You are guaranteed to be in the merged tribe. So if they take that out of the equation, then it becomes more interesting, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. PG, did you follow any of the memes this week of Erica going back in time and changing history?
I got sent one by my patrons.
Yes. Oh, why did you? Oh, did you? Did your history get changed?
Yeah. No, it was now we know who put Abby's bracelet in PG's bag.
Oh, it was time traveling Erica.
It was time traveling Erica. Mm-hmm. Screwed me, Erica.
Mm-hmm. How could she? This is a question from Sheldon, who says, PG, with the infamous PG being on the podcast when an Asian contestant is eliminated curse being broken, is it confirmed that in the alternate timeline where Erica doesn't smash the hourglass, Erica is actually the merge boot?
Exactly. This is what happened. We're in the new timeline. That's why the curse is broken now.
Yeah, I do think that had she not broken the hourglass, I do think she would have been the person that got voted out.
Of course. I'm recapping this week, so of course it would have been her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, that I mean, I think there's been other times that the curse has been lifted. It's an urban legend at this point.
I don't think so.
Yeah. When did you come on Winners at War?
Maybe.
Let me see. Let me look this up real quick.
I think the last time it was an Asian contestant when I came on was when B.
I think that you that we did the live know it alls when was it did
Karishma
got voted out? Yeah. But that I mean that was like 2 years ago. Okay.
Then, yeah, like the last time there was a season off.
No, we did Winners at War. Let's see. Let's see. PG Law reveals she smuggled a Kit Kat bar into the game. You smuggled a Kit Kat into the game?
Rob, this is an old story. You know this.
Yes, you did?
Yeah, okay, but I've told this on the podcast before.
What was it?
I didn't smuggle it. My dad brought it on during the family visit.
Okay, got it. Okay, so I'm looking at us, and we talked on May 7th, 2020, after episode 13 of Survivor Winners at War.
Do you know who that boot was?
Okay, well, let me look at the Survivor Wiki. So, boy, and my beard, I have a very long quarantine beard on May 7th, 2020. So yeah, but I think that's got to be what on May 7th, 2020. That's got to be like Nick Wilson. Let me see. Okay, so Survivor Winners at War, May 7th, 2020. Just wanted to prove to everybody or is an urban legend. So this was in episode who got voted out? Nick and I'm sorry, Jeremy and Nick got voted out in a 2-hour episode. Okay. But two people went home.
I'm just glad it wasn't Yul.
Yes, no, it was late in the season. Late in the season.
So this is why I'm coming on now, like merge post merge. Mm-hmm. I'm only doing merge or post merge recaps from now on.
Yes. PG, do you have a winner pick in the season?
God, looking at the list right now. Mm-hmm. You know, early on it was Shan. I don't know that it could be her because she's. I feel like her edit has turned really villainous lately.
She has a song.
She has her villain song.
Yes,
I know.
Did she's
been humming
song?
It a lot.
Oh, you have the same one?
Oh, do I have one?
Yes.
I feel like it's very similar to that. Yeah. Okay. It's just kind of a tiptoeing, like it's a little tiptoeing song. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I feel like Tiffany.
Yes.
Is getting kind of a good winner's edit. Like she's kind of, you know, in the back and then now emerging, coming forth. Who's left? Deshaun. I feel like Deshaun is getting a pretty good edit.
I think Deshaun is really a good player.
Deshaun is really, he's really underrated, I think. And he's very under the radar. I think this was something I saw on Reddit, so I can't take credit for this, but they were pointing out like, you know, him mentioning the whole like, well, Evie told me about your idol.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that almost blew up the whole thing.
That was a very good little jab. Mm-hmm. And then him turning to Xander and kind of like, well, you know, good job. Good play. So this again, congratulate. It's building a nice relationship with them. Like, oh, good job on it. But it's also kind of, I don't know, like subtly pointing out like, you know, these are the guys, mm-hmm. like, I'm not the threat. These are the threats, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone else, maybe Ricard, he might emerge later, but mm-hmm. I don't see him having a lot of...
This is such a good spot for Ricard right now, I think.
Yeah. He's in a good spot, and so I feel
love
like
Ricard's spot right now.
He feels very flexible, so I feel like there's potential there. I feel like everyone else is... I don't see them winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I feel like these are the obvious. I've named like half of the cast.
Yeah, well, I feel I could see sort of like a path to the end for I feel like Deshaun, Shan. I love where Ricard is. Like, I feel like that we have like players and people that are like not really contenders. I feel like that my contenders right now I feel like are Deshaun. I'm sorry, I don't feel like that Danny is a contender.
No, he's not. I love him. Yes. I think he's really good on the show, but I don't see him winning.
Yeah, I feel like if Danny and Deshaun are in the end, I feel like Deshaun is winning. I feel like that Shan is a contender. I feel like that Ricard is a contender. I feel like that... I kind of thought that all the Yasa people are maybe with the exception of Liana, I feel like are still alive as contenders. In Tiffany, Evie, and Xander.
I feel like Tiffany and Xander have maybe... Like, Evie seems to have a bigger... Mm-hmm. Well, I think Xander probably now has a bigger target, but he's mm-hmm. got... He's so loaded with advantages that they probably won't be able mm-hmm. to get him out for a while, so...
Yeah, Nasir, I love Nasir, but I don't know if I would put him in the contender category.
I love Nasir, and I want to see him... stay on because he's very charming and entertaining to watch, but mm-hmm. This man is not winning the game.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. So, but I feel like that, you know, 5-6 people at this point in time is still, you know, pretty interesting to watch.
Anybody's game, and you never know who's going to win immunity.
Yes. Okay. So. PG, speaking of games, I know in the past that you have come to Rob's podcast with a game that you have designed.
So I don't have a game this time, but and I realized this very late as I was getting ready. So this is why I was a little bit late joining you for the podcast. But I have made you a game within a podcast.
A game within a podcast. Okay. How does that work?
Okay. So you got to click on the link.
Okay. I'm going to click on a link. And why? Did you say secret phrases throughout the podcast?
You spin the wheel of misfortune.
Yes.
And then can you screen share?
Oh,
this,
okay. Yeah, so you've made a Rebus puzzle that we're going to. I'm doing this on video with PG. So let me go ahead and share the share the tab that she sent me of the game.
You'll have to describe. You'll have to describe.
Okay.
You know, each image, and I want to hear you like work your
okay.
way through this.
All right. So let me see. What if we? Okay. What's better? Okay, we'll do this. Okay. All right. So
this is so stupid. Please remember that I made this in like 10 minutes. So I don't want to hear nothing about it.
Okay. So let me just read. Okay. So just real quick. So we have a turkey. And then we have a key, and then we have plus, and we have enhance, and then we have minus, a Russell Hans, and then we have a goat, and then we have...
Start with the first line.
Okay, well, let me just tell the podcast listeners. Okay. And it looks like that we have Jack from Survivor 39, and then Jay. Okay, so turkey minus key is tur, enhance minus Hans. Turn, and then we have a goat plus Jack, goat Jack.
It's a sheep. Jay. It's a sheep.
A sheep Jack. Sheepak. Turin sheep, and then Jack minus Jay. Turin sheepak.
The sheep is actually it's performing an action. Is this
Stephen Fishback?
Scroll down. There's more. There's one more line.
There's another line. Okay. All right. Turn back, and then Heidi minus an eggplant. I don't know what you're trying to say, PG. In a book, Heidi minus eggplant
plus a book
plus a book. Heidi minus an eggplant. Boy, well, you're putting me on the spot here with Heidi minus an eggplant. Heidi minus eggplant. Heidi minus eggplant plus book. Book. So if we're saying turn back.
So it's not a book, but it's a.
It's not a book.
It's not supposed to be book, but it's representing a what's in books.
Words.
What are the words telling?
Okay. Turn back history.
It was Heidi without the D.
Oh, the eggplant is a D. That was like a couple of leaps.
I'm sorry, it's so stupid. I just made this for my own amusement.
Yeah. So Heidi without the D plus a story is history. Can you please share this on your Instagram, and we'll tell people to go to.
You can feel free to share this, but I will share this, and I will probably tweet this also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Here. So let me just, maybe we can get a screen grab here. Let me zoom out a little bit, but yeah. Boy. And it was Heidi's birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Heidi.
Happy birthday, Heidi.
I hope you had many eggplants.
I think just one these days. Wow. There you go, PG. Turn back history. There you go. All right. Never break the hourglass and remove that from history. It's amazing. Thank you, PG. Thank you. Nobody's ever done that before. Brought a Rebus puzzle to the podcast.
Oh, no. My camera. Okay.
We turn back history and bring back PG.
There we go.
Okay. PG, anything else about Survivor that you want to say while we have you here?
No, I'm so glad it's back on. Honestly, I'm thrilled. I watch every week with the patrons, and we like sit and do a live chat. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun, and it's brought a lot into my life. So I'm so thrilled that it's back. I'm glad that you and I get to sit and chat and hang out with this. And mm-hmm. can I please beg all of your listeners to please. Please subscribe to my podcast. It helps. You know that it helps so much with metrics.
I don't think you need to beg them.
I kind of do.
Yes. Okay. So tell them where to go.
You can go to realityescapepod.com. Mm-hmm. Please follow, you know, if you, of course, if you leave a review,
ratings and reviews, yeah, subscribe.
Yes. Yeah. Please subscribe. And if you guys are looking for some interesting episodes, I can recommend to the Alon Lee one.
Yes. And by the way, if you're subscribed, it doesn't kill you to unsubscribe and subscribe again.
Does that help?
I think it does.
Is it? It only counts new subscribes. So I can just sit and click subscribe and unsubscribe over and over.
And look, you didn't hear that from me.
All right, let me go buy an auto clicker right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what are the other great episodes to check out?
I have Miles Nye. He came on. He's been on your podcast before.
Yes.
So
yes. Speaking of great puzzlers.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of fun puzzlers. And then I think I'm gonna try to have Gabby on to talk about Survivor just in general, because a lot of the people who listen to the podcast are not necessarily Survivor fans, but they hear me like referencing it so much that I'm like, okay, I'm going to explain to you why I think you should listen, because there are so many people I know who love escape rooms who are also Survivor fans. It's like a really, the Venn diagram is like, there's like a huge overlap there, which makes a lot of sense to me. So, but for people who don't, we're going to try to convince them to start watching.
Yeah. PG, I took my kids to their first escape room a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my God, how was it?
So we went to one. It wasn't really a great one. I can't really give a recommendation. but we went to one and we were in like this like tiny room. And then like I like opened the cabinet and there was like a secret passage. And it was like, oh, look at this. Look at this, everybody. And then like there was like the guy came on like the walkie-talkie like, how did you get in there? I'm like, I opened the cabinet. He's like, you're not supposed to do that yet. Let me come in there. And then it was like the magnet was like broken. He's like, I have to call the owner. You're not supposed to be in there yet.
Yeah, this is, I'm sorry you had a bad experience. If you come back to LA, I will recommend
that's where the
some
good ones
amazing
are.
Ones.
Yeah.
Well, I've recently, so since quarantine has lifted, I have been on two trips because again, the cabin fever, and both of them were like escape room tours. Like I went to New Orleans and I did like 20 escape rooms in like 5 days.
Yes. What's the escape room capital of America?
I would say LA or New Orleans.
New Orleans. We've wouldn't have met if you would have given me, 20 guesses. I don't think I would have come up with New Orleans as being a big escape room haven.
It's mostly because of one company that has built these games that are the sets are almost on par with like a Disneyland ride.
Wow.
Not of course, not quite, but they're on a grand scale. Like you feel like you're like, what is happening? So there's of course degrees, and I'm trying to promote the best of these, because those ones that are fun are incredible. And there's a lot of crappy ones out there.
Yeah.
But the good ones are really, really good. I just went to Montreal. There's some amazing things going on in there. Like, I mean, this is what I love about escape rooms. They're super immersive. So it's like, you feel like you opened the door and you stepped into another world. And it's only for like six of you. So it's not like Disneyland where you're in line with millions of other people, right? It's a private thing. A lot of times there's some kind of performative aspect. So it's almost like theatrical in a way, like there's a story, there's a narrative, and you get to be the hero of it and go solve puzzles and feel smart, you know? So that's my plug for escape rooms. I think everyone should play. And if you are a fan, you like immersive theater or gaming, check out my podcast.
Okay. Well, PG, you were the hero in this immersive experience here today, because it's always so much fun to get to catch up with you and talk Survivor. And this is wonderful. We don't have to worry about the curse anymore. Everything is
broken.
Great.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Yes.
Looking forward to doing it again.
Of course. PG, anything else you want people to follow you anywhere on social media?
You can find me everywhere at PG, P-E-I-H. G-E-E. And check out the Patreon. It's pgplays.com/Patreon.
Okay. And I had a lot of fun playing games with you when you had me. If you ever do that kind of stuff again, that I would love to do it again.
I'm going to take you up on that because I want to get survivors to play Blood on the Clock Tower, which is a new social deduction game.
Sounds a little gory.
It's amazing. And it is very Survivor-like. The difference between Werewolf and this game is that, like, you can go off into pairs, you can go off in a room and whisper and talk and share information and whatnot. So yes, it's really fun. And when I tweeted about this game, the creators, like, messaged me instantly. They were like, oh my God. They're like, we are huge Survivor fans, because most game designers are. So they were like, please, we want to host a game for you and a bunch of Survivors. So I got to get a group together and play this.
Okay. All right, PG, looking forward to it. Take care, okay?
All right. Bye, Rob.
Bye. Everybody, there you have it. The great PG Law here. Great Rebus puzzle. A great game within the podcast. Always fun to catch up with PG. All right, that's going to do it for us here today. But we still have a lot of great podcasts coming up here talking about this Merge episode. Sean Clements coming up from the Hollywood Handbook, plus Lyrsa on the Feedback Show. Not to mention Matt Scott is going to join us on the Survivor 41 Patron Q&A. And of course, we have our big Survivor trivia game coming up on Tuesday night for the patrons. They're going to play on Kahoot. Expect a big turnout for that one. That's going to be at robiswebsite.com/patron if you want to sign up and play. If you're an existing patron, we'll send out the link so you can join in live on our interactive Survivor Trivia Night coming up on Tuesday. Hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Of course, make sure you subscribe at robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.